A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Senior Pastor of Word Fountain Christian Ministries, Pastor Dupe Adefola. Be blessed.
Hallelujah. We pray that the grace of God will continue to abound in our lives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We have a few minutes to reflect on the word. By God's standard, you are in the best place that you could ever be. By God's standard. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2, it is better. Go there with me. It is better. If God was to give you a choice, he says it is better to go to the house of mourning or of funeral than the house of feasting. There's a message that God, it says, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. And our pastor said that as he opened us up today. It says, and the living will lay it to his heart. I pray that that what God wants to do here today will be a treasure you will lay to heart. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God gave me the great privilege once to speak to Daddy Moses Akinpelu when the family told me that he was strong and getting ready to go. He was sick, and I was privileged to talk to him. He sounded strong. I spoke to Mommy. Mommy also was happy that we called. But you just know that life is so precious. And then our brother sharing his testimony when Daddy had passed on was talking that the night he spoke to him, he didn't know it was going to be the last. He just said, Dad, talk to you soon. And we bless God for the privilege that he has children, he has family, he has a wife, he has grandchildren. Let's appreciate God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God that it is the children that are giving him a befitting burial. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says if someone dies and is not buried, it was better that it was a stillbirth. So burial is not something that is strange to God. God expects the people he has given life to and have fulfilled life and have finished, that they come back to him and that they be celebrated because they've just breasted the tape of life. Because Ecclesiastes says there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. So Daddy has done the two. Amen. It's you and I that we have done one and waiting for the second. So Daddy breasted the tape and then just said, pop, 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 pop. And we are saying, but why? That's why the Bible says it's good. We should rejoice with those who are rejoicing and mourn with those who are mourning. Because in heaven, we believe that they have been rejoicing. Not just today, but because Daddy came home. Hallelujah. So today we want to talk about the most important appointment. Somebody say appointment. Appointment. A brother, son, Darasimi, right from Psalm 90, and in verse 12, the Bible says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Which means life is finite. And therefore, it can be counted. It's only something that is finite that you can count. If it was not finite, it would be uncountable. Amen? And so in Revelation chapter 7, a brother also read about a group of people. He says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Wow. And I'm sure we all envy them. That they are before the throne. They are human beings. Because there is another segment for angels. Amen. But these people, they were in the presence of God. And the Bible said they came from all nations, all kindreds, and people, and tongues. And when I was reading, I felt the Holy Spirit made me stop.
I said, you're talking about nations, kindreds, people, and tongues. The Bible didn't talk about their age. It's irrelevant. Somebody say, age is irrelevant. The Bible didn't say, of all qualifications. It's irrelevant. Somebody say, it's irrelevant. The Bible didn't talk about their titles. It's irrelevant. Somebody say, it's irrelevant. What is important is that the harvest is for the whole world. All nations, all kindreds, all languages. Whether you became the prime minister, double prime minister, waiting for the third session, waiting for the fifth session, or you make yourself someone that will not leave post, it doesn't matter. Hello? Age doesn't matter. Gender does. The Bible didn't say male and female. Hey, gender does not matter in this multitude that we are talking about. So how did they get there? That was the question. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to my spirit, it was by appointment. It was by appointment. Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed unto man once to die. It didn't say young to die or old to die, but once to die. And after that, judgment. How did they get there? Tell the person beside you, they died. Say they died. Say they died. Say to the person, they died. How did they get there? None of them, apart from Enoch that God took, apart from Elijah that the chariots came for. Hebrews 11:13 said they all died in faith. They all died in faith. Abraham died. Isaac died. Jacob died. Joseph died. Esther died. Daniel died. They all died in faith. Somebody say it was by appointment. And so you may think that it's everybody that dies that goes there. Jesus now gave us a clue. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, because you may say, okay, they all died. But let's look at Luke chapter 16. Something, a scripture you know very well. The Bible says, from verse 19, I'm going to read the whole context for understanding. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses, they have Modupe, they have Reverend Appiah, they have Clara, they have Wale, they have Duni, they have Aki, what's my sister? They have Nike, and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham,
But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses, if they hear not Wale, if they hear not Duni, if they hear not Akin, if they hear not Nike, and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Jesus took us into a place where we know that things happen beyond the grave. In verses 19 to 21 of this text that I've read, we are told about here now, life. We are told about the rich man, how he was enjoying life. We are told about a certain beggar named Lazarus and the desire of Lazarus that was not fulfilled. And then verse 22 became a common ground for both of them. Somebody say verse 22. Became a common ground. Verse 19 was unique to the rich man. Verse 20 was unique to Lazarus. But verse 22 became a common ground. Somebody say they all died. The rich man died. The poor man also died. But then the curtain of eternity was then opened to us in from verse 23 to verse 31, that there was something happening in hell and something was happening in heaven. But they couldn't connect because of a great gulf. Brethren, it is that gulf that Jesus Christ came to fill. It is now that we can choose to cross over from hell to heaven while we are living, using the cross of Jesus as the ladder. Because once time ceases and verse 22 sets in, there is no crossover. Tell somebody, no crossover. The great gulf that Abraham was telling the rich man about can be crossed over now while we are breathing, before that appointment comes. I read, by the grace of God, the tributes of daddy, the children wrote, the school, so many people wrote tributes about daddy. He met Chief Obafemi Awolowo. He met the king of Ibadan. Daddy had many appointments. He had businesses. I can imagine him by appointment going to his banker, by appointment going to his partner. I saw daddy by appointment going to doctor. I saw daddy going by appointment. Brother King wants to get married. Daddy is there by appointment. Wale is graduating. Daddy is there by appointment. He's giving the daughter away in marriage. He's there by appointment. Just tell me, what time do you want me to come? Daddy, 10 o'clock, I'll be there. Somebody say it was by appointment. Everything that daddy did in life was by appointment. But he had to keep the appointment with his maker. And on that gracious day, the 9th of February 2018, he had an appointment with God. And I believe God, he didn't struggle. Because according to the tribute we have, I'll read to you, for those of us, it says, daddy impacted lives during his lifetime and was generous to all. He was a family man and a pillar of support for many. He was a devoted Christian, a committed worshiper, and a man dedicated to prayer. He rededicated his life to Christ in July 2016, and this was the greatest decision of all. We thank God for daddy's life and the years he spent with us. He is survived by his wife, brothers, sisters, children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephew. Praise the Lord. That was the last paragraph. Before then, daddy went to school. By appointment in primary school, if he came late, he would be punished. By appointment, when he was working, if he didn't do the work that he was given to do, he would have been dismissed. There were consequences for not keeping appointments on earth. But the Bible says the tribute says he rededicated his life to Christ in July 2016, and he began to prepare for the ultimate appointment. If you read the scripts and count this text that I've read in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 21, just three verses telling us about what the rich man and Lazarus did in life. Verse 22, a common verse to both. But you realize that the things that were happening in eternity from verse 23 to 31 took 9 verses. You can't rush eternity. It goes at its own pace. It fulfills all that God has ordained eternity to do. And so it is important that you use the time we have to prepare for eternity. Praise the Lord. I saw someone who was preparing for eternity. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. He was preparing people. Jesus prepared for eternity. But let's read accounts of Peter, because you can only be following Jesus if you prepare yourself also for death, because he prepared himself for death. Amen? Amen. You can't just follow him to get all the goodies of life and not follow him to prepare for death as Jesus prepared for death. He kept telling his disciples, I'm going, and I will rise again. Hallelujah. So Peter took a cue from his mentor. And so from verse 11, it reads, I'll read from verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my disease to have these things always in remembrance. Praise God. So Peter tells us that death is an entrance into the kingdom of God. Say to someone else, they all died. And the truth is that for those who die and make it to the bosom of Jesus, they don't want to come back. They don't beg to come back. If you cry for them to come back, they'll say, eh? So that's all the love you have for me. If you know where I am, you won't be crying, you'll be rejoicing. Peter said, it's an entrance that is ministered to you. God ministers the entrance of death to his own so that they are not afraid of crossing over. And also, he said he will not be negligent in reminding us. This is a great opportunity that the family of Akinpelu, they are giving us to remind us that there is an entrance that we need to prepare ourselves for. It does not matter age, race, qualification, gender. That one day that entrance will be made available. I pray that you and I will not be ashamed to enter in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that we will use the time we have to prepare for eternity. Hallelujah. And so, we thank God for the life of Daddy. We thank God for the many testimonies that have been shared. And we can only pray that the family will take consolation in the fact that it was by appointment. If they were to be asked to bring money to keep daddy alive, they may be able to put some money down. But this is not something that you spend money on. This is something that you spend prayer on, faith on, making sure you check with the person that they are really prepared to meet with their maker. To a Christian who knows the Lord and who is known of the Lord, death is not fatal and it is not final. It is the most important appointment that we could ever keep. This history, church history, tells us of Polycarp, who lived in the second century. Jesus died in AD 30 or 33, we believe. He was born in AD 69. So the wind of the testimony of Jesus was still at work. And he lived for 87 years. At 86, he was arrested by the Roman Empire and he was told to deny Jesus. They told him that we have arrested you. You are now in our custody. If you just deny this Jesus, we'll free you. And the man said, for 86 years, I have lived to declare him. I don't think I have 86 years again to live. If this is the end of it, so be it. You know what? They set fire and put Polycarp. It's church history. This is not tale. They put Polycarp in the fire. Fire did not touch him. They had to use something like javelin, just as they did for Jesus, to break him, and that's how he died. But he refused to deny Jesus. He knew that if he was to die, there was an entrance prepared to meet the one for whom he had given his life. Have you given your life to Jesus? So the point that you know that if the door of life was to be opened, which we call death on earth, you will be able to go in and not be ashamed. We have read in Revelation chapter 7 that it's not by age, it's by appointment. It's not by qualification, it's by appointment. It's not by the title, it's by appointment. The most important thing is that we keep that appointment and that we are willing to be received by the one who will receive all. I pray that our life will count on that day of the appointment in Jesus' name. To the family, the Lord will have me say this. It's okay to feel the pain. It's okay to feel how we miss daddy. It's okay to have his number on your phone and you want to press call and then you remember. It's okay to have his pictures all around the house. And people will call, oh, Wale, you look like your daddy. How can you look like your daddy? It's okay. The reason why you feel the emotions, the reason why you feel the pain, is because you were not just related, you were connected. You were connected. It is the connection that is causing you the pain that you feel. But we know the God of heaven, who comforts those who mourn in Zion. The God who gives the oil of joy and gladness. The God who wipes away all tears, even as we read in Revelation chapter 7. But one thing I have discovered about comfort of God is that you have to be intentional in receiving it. You have to be determined that you know that God gives comfort and you are willing to receive it. The other aspect of comfort, the reason why God will comfort every member of the family, I'd like you to sit down, sir. The reason God will comfort every member of the family is to bring about unity. If you are comforted, he is comforted, all the others in Nigeria are comforted, the only way you can demonstrate that you have received comfort is by walking in unity. If you allow any division to come in between you, it's because you are still in pain. And the more of unity you promote in the family, the greater the comfort that God will give. I beg of you. We have seen many families that after the transition of the patriarch, people begin to fight. There is no property that daddy has left behind that can attend the appointment with anyone. This appointment, you can't show up with your property, whether inherited or worked for. I pray by the mercy of God that the grace for unity God will give to you. The word of wisdom God will give to you. In the name of Jesus. The reason you feel the pain is because God has taken daddy away from this territory we call the earth and has now positioned him as a memory in your heart. And the weight of that memory is... But it will settle. It will what? It will settle. For him to move from being in the physical sphere that we call the earth, the territory where you can run to him, you can call him, to a place where he's now residing in your heart as a memory. That transition causes some discomfort. You have to adjust and allow him to settle. And we pray that for mommy, for all the men and the women in the house, for the young and the old, that adjustment, God will bring alignment in the name of Jesus. The reason you are feeling uncomfortable is that the tire is not aligned. You are wondering, yesterday I spoke to him, last month I spoke to him, daddy said he was going to do this, daddy hasn't done this, I told daddy I'm going to do this, I haven't done it. And so the alignment is not yet settled. But when it's settled, it will become a song. Amen. You'll be able to tell your children and your children's children about daddy. I pray that the God of heaven will help you to bear the adjustment. And you help one another as well, so that the memory will continue to be sweet. In the name of Jesus. Now for all of us that are here, thank you all for coming. Thank you for settling in. Amen. For those of us who have joined the family, God also has a counsel for us. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As a church, we are praying on Wednesdays on telecom, and we are being led by our church in Swindon. And we are currently reading and praying through 1 Thessalonians. And on Wednesday, this was the text. And it just aligned with what I felt the Lord was saying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13. This is for all of us. This is our common grace. All of us that have this appointment yet to be kept. It says, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I want you to put your arm around the person, please. Just put your arm. Say, "Be comforted." Be comforted. Say it. Say, "Be comforted." Be comforted. God says, "I'm giving you comfort, everyone here." Hallelujah. And he's opening our eyes to the truth here, that we must not be ignorant. concerning daddy who has gone to sleep, he says, sorrow not, but sober up. Say to them, sorrow not, but sober up. He says, there is a condition for the journey that we believe daddy has made. And that condition is in verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If you haven't got that conviction that Jesus died and rose again, everything about death will be a mystery. Everything about death will be a mystery. But if you have accepted what God did in Christ Jesus, you will know that there is a resurrection of the dead. And he announces to us that those who have gone ahead of us, this morning I was in London for a burial, not as old as daddy, a woman. Hallelujah. The Bible says that woman we buried today in the morning, and daddy that we bury in Nigeria today. If we believe that Jesus Christ rose, he died and rose again, he said when Jesus comes, he's bringing them with him. Hello? Hello? Happy reunion. He says that we which are alive and remain. When I read that phrase, alive and remain, these ones are still alive, but they are not remaining. We are alive and remaining. They have gone to be with the Lord. We are still here. When Jesus comes, the one that died and rose again, he's coming with them. And they have been by death and by resurrection, they become our seniors, not just by age. The Bible says we shall not prevent them, which means we shall not be ahead of them. We will stand behind them. Amen? We shall not be ahead of them. They will come with Jesus. And all of us who are alive, he repeated it again in verse 17. Then we which are alive and remaining. Ask the person beside you, are you alive and remaining? Because some are remaining, they are not alive. But God wants us to be alive in Christ and remaining. If we wait till Jesus comes, we will be alive and remaining. That is the word of comfort to all of us. If you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, consider today as a good day to give your life to him. If you don't understand the testimony of him dying and rising again, ask, and by the grace of God, we will explain to everyone. Because he had to taste death for every man. The Bible said he tasted death for everyone. So that those who are afraid of death, they will be free from the fear. I pray, if you are here and the enemy is announcing death over you, that by the same blood that and power that raised Christ from the dead, you will be free from the fear in Jesus' name. Today, you can make up your mind that you want to be in the number that were in Revelation 7, because God is still recruiting. You can agree with God today that the life he has given to you, you will make it count for eternity, just as Lazarus made his life to count in eternity. You can agree with God that because you believe that Jesus died and is raised again, when he comes, if you and I still are alive and remaining, we will have the hope of being with him, because the trumpet shall sound. But the mystery of the trumpet is that there are times when it sounds silently. I came in this afternoon and the trumpet was really sounding. The drum was sounding. I was hearing it in the church office. And I came in and I said, I did it. There are times when they tune down the trumpet.
But the people to whom the trumpet is sounding, they hear and they answer. It is by appointment. Let's bow down our heads. I want you to talk to God this afternoon, or this evening rather, that the breath he has given you, how long have you been breathing it? The first scripture says, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart to wisdom. How long have I been breathing? Do you know how much the hospital, private hospitals charge to give people oxygen? And you haven't, God has not given you a bill. He's been giving you the supply. I want you to thank God that you are breathing. You are among those who are remaining. And then we'll talk about alive. Glory to God. I want you to value the breath. Just breathe in and breathe out. For 89 years, Daddy Moses Bolanle Akinpelu was drawing in the breath. He was breathing in and breathing out. Thank God for the grace of life. It is out of the grace of life that we run the race of life. And that G in front of your race must be God. If God is in front of your race, you are in grace. If you don't have G in front of your race, you are running without hope in life. I want you to consider, am I alive? Am I alive? Alive in Christ. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Have you met with him? Have you asked him to come and live inside of you so that you can be truly alive? Have you sought his face? Have you confessed your sin? The Bible says the sting of death is sin. That death will not sting either any of us at the time when the door of the entrance is open, is that we must deal with the issue of sin. That is when death will not be a sting to anybody. Will you want to consider a reconciliation with your Maker? We can make it count. Father, in the name of Jesus, well, thank you for your word that has gone forth. We receive it with meekness, and we receive the help of the Holy Spirit to interpret it, not only just when we have heard it, but when he brings it into remembrance. Lord, help us to make conscious decision about being alive, remaining, and making the appointment. Is there someone here who wants to say, I need to make that decision today? Wherever you are, just put your hand upon your heart and say with me these few words of prayers. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the great privilege of life. I want to be truly alive in you. I confess my sin and I repent of them. And I ask that you come and make your abode in me. Forgive me all my unrighteousness and create in me a clean heart. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, I will not go back to my sin like a dog goes back to his vomit. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Let your Holy Spirit come and dwell in me. That Jesus, when we look at the multitude before the throne, I will not be a stranger. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you that my appointment with you will keep me from falling and from being ashamed at seeing you, even when you shall appear by your Spirit and by your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless. Yeah.